I am sitting here with my co-host. I'm Scott.
I'm Jonathan McGillicuddy.
Come on. I'm Scott, and this is...
Cornelius P. Pennyweather.
Seriously? All right, we're going to try this again. I'm Scott. This is my co-host...
Brian Bishop.
You know, this is not working. Let's try this one last time. I'm Scott, and this is...
Sam Woolman.
You know, I'm actually starting to get confused myself. I don't know who I'm here with.
It's obviously Jamie Dooner. I'm sitting right across from you.
Oh. This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number...
40.
Hello and welcome to Tech Bacon. I am Scott Gold, and this really is...
Cornelius P. Pennyweather.
All the way from London, England.
Yorkshire.
To be exact.
Yeah, this is Jamie Dooner. I am back after a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, we had 1 week off, and then you were ill.
And then I was ill, and I'm still a little ill.
You like to get ill.
No.
You're not going to go there with me?
I'm not going
there.
Come
on.
No.
It's fun.
It's not the time to get ill, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, glad to have Jamie Dooner back with us after a couple weeks of hiatus. Jamie was in Houston for the holidays. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving with the family?
Yeah. Nice. Hanging out with the nephews.
Always fun?
Yes.
Always fun. Introducing them to new electronics? No.
No. I don't want them to
break. He was teaching you electronics.
Oh, yeah. No joke.
Those little kids, man.
Apparently, my nephew has discovered Mr. Bean by himself on YouTube.
Really?
Which is great.
That's really funny.
Hilarious. But my sister
very low brow.
The other day, which is like, he's watching Mr. Bean videos all the time. She has no idea how he even found them.
That's really fun. This week, as always, fun and exciting. Crazy news in technology.
It's been a crazy week in the tech world, Scott.
Has it? I haven't noticed. I think it's always a crazy week in the tech world, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
It is always a crazy week. So on the social front of the technology world, Facebook and Twitter had a lot going on this week. The first thing was Facebook rolled out their new interface for the Android, which had previously been already updated for the iPhone. I don't know if you said you didn't get it on the iPhone, right?
No, I haven't. I don't set my stuff to automatically update.
Why
on
is
my
that?
Phone. I don't know. I just don't. I like to, because I don't necessarily want everything updated. There's things on there that I don't use all the time, so I don't need the more space taken up by the updates. Do you know what I mean?
Do you?
So, for example, like, I have a Japanese to English dictionary on there that I used when I was in Japan, but I don't really want to remove it. But I don't need that.
You don't
to be
want
updated.
The update, right? So do you?
Unless
every now
if I plan on going back to Japan, I'll update it. You know what I mean?
Do you every now and then go through and manually update stuff?
Yeah, like once every 2 weeks or something.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
makes sense. So. This is the new, if you want to take a look at it on my phone, on the Android, it's very similar to what they did with iOS. It's just fully new HTML5-based features. You know, on the top, it's got a little friend and a little globe that shows you notifications. And on the left, you can click these like three bars and it drops down and shows you all your options, all your apps on the left, news feed, profile, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm talking about?
No, I'm too busy reading all your friends' updates.
Jamie's being a voyeur right now.
Well, we are all voyeurs on Facebook.
This is true. That's a very good point. But so, like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, if you click that on the left side, it shows.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I do have this update already.
Oh, yeah, because it came out for iOS a little while ago.
Yeah. I just have... There's another update available, probably a bug fix thing that came out this week that I haven't
done yet. That's probably no...
Right.
Difference.
But yes, I do have that user interface.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, it's really nice. I'm glad they finally came out with it for Android. It makes,
yeah.
I think it makes a big difference It seems like people are pretty into it for the most part.
Yeah, I haven't heard any complaints about the Facebook thing.
Yeah.
Usually when Facebook has some sort of major change, you know, that's all anybody's status update is about.
Right. I hate the new Facebook. Why did you do this?
Pennyweather
Facebook?
Thinks old Facebook rules.
Dude, Cornelius Pennyweather is a little curmudgeon.
He is.
He doesn't like
change. He's the new Scrooge.
He doesn't like change at all.
He doesn't.
No. What was the last thing he was so mad about? Facebook.
Facebook, yes.
He's always on Facebook, that Cornelius. He's a poster. That guy posts all the time.
He does. It's politics and religion. I don't even know why I'm friends with him anymore.
I think we need to create a page for Cornelius. What was the name? Cornelius what?
Cornelius. I think I
Pennyweather?
Said T. Pennyweather. Yes.
T. Pennyweather. Yes. What's the T stand for? Tiberius?
No. No. I am not a Star Trek nerd. I'm not a Trekker.
Yet you know what
Trekker.
That stands
are you,
for.
Do you consider yourself a Trekker or a Trekkie?
Neither.
You're one of them. Come
I am
on.
Not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not.
You own Star Trek memorabilia.
I do not.
You do somewhere. I'm not. Hey, there's nothing wrong with it. I've enjoyed Star Trek before, but I don't own any Star Trek stuff. I maybe have a movie.
I have a mug somewhere of
you used to have
data.
A communicator pen.
I did.
See?
I did.
Did you ever have a shirt?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure.
All right.
I think I may have had some autographed thing somewhere.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm not a anti Star Trek person.
Anti Trekkie.
Yeah, anti-Trekker. Trekkite.
Anti-Trekkite.
Anti-Trekkite. But if you are a Trekker or a Trekkie, I'm just saying own up to it.
Well, I don't think I would. I can't.
Yeah.
I think I'm a closet Trekker. Trekkie.
Okay.
I think is what it boils down to. I do love me some Star Trek, though, I have to say. I will cop that I have been to a Star Trek convention. Twice in my life.
Now, what was your motivation in going to that?
The first one was in high school. I don't remember why. Probably just
because you liked it and you wanted to
buy
meet
memorabilia
the,
or something.
Get autographs and
the second time I was invited by a guy who was actually running the whole convention and he wanted us to come by and check it out. So it was kind of fun to have the backstage access, I guess. Kind of neat. Have you ever been to any comic or sci-fi conventions? As we veer completely off course here.
No. I've been a couple of times. I have a friend who, Yehudi Mercado, who is a comic book artist. And so,
what's his major book? What's it called?
Buffalo Speedway.
Buffalo Speedway. It's great. I read it. I highly recommend it. It's on Amazon.
He sells stuff at things like that, and so I've been to a couple of them to visit him.
Right.
And it's, I find it fascinating. It's not that I wouldn't go there if he wasn't there. I just have never.
You got an awesome autograph at one of those. What was it that you were at?
It was called, it was in Anaheim, and it was, I don't remember what it was called, but it was weird because I thought it was going to be a comic book convention. And it ended up being, there was a tiny, tiny section of comic book stuff, but it was mostly an autograph convention, and it was really weird.
So just random celebrities giving autographs.
Yeah, it was kind of sad.
Really?
Because you're walking up and down these aisles of booths, and it's just people that have been in things, and you recognize almost everyone, but no one's, you got to give them money to sign a picture, right?
Right.
And it's...
Were there any marquee people?
I think the biggest guy there was Billy Dee Williams.
Oh, that's pretty big.
And they had... They had a whole bunch of the Next Generation cast. But...
those guys make a lot of money.
I mean,
they used to make a lot of money.
Character actors they're in all kinds of stuff, not just sci-fi stuff.
Right,
like
everything.
The guy that plays the... the warden in the Shawshank Redemption, he was there.
Oh, he was there.
And it just like sort of random. But it was like, It wasn't sad when there were people actually doing it. It made me sad when I'd walk by someone and I'd be like, oh, that's the girl from whatever.
And nobody's there.
And no one's there and she just looks miserable.
Yeah.
But I got, what's his name?
I can't remember his name. He was in...
He's the nerd. He plays the nerd in everything. In Midnight Madness, in Grease... Eddie K. Deason.
Right. Surf 2.
Yes.
Anybody? I'm going to throw out the most random movie. If anybody has ever seen that, drop me a line on Facebook.
So Eddie Deason like totally talks like he does in the movies in real life.
Hey guys. Oh, hey Jamie, how you doing? It's nice to meet you.
And you know what was really weird about him is he started talking about because he asked me where I grew up, and I said Texas, and he started, like, spouting his, like, super conservative political
views. Oh, really?
Which was what made me feel uncomfortable.
Now, was this before or after you got his autograph?
I had already paid.
Okay, you could have walked away at any point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strange.
But I guess... it was weird.
You're there to chat up people, I guess. You know?
Yeah, but it was just odd. Like, I was just sort of like, I don't really want to talk about politics with anyone.
Right. So strange. Anyway.
So yeah, comic book conventions. Fascinating.
Fascinating.
And you see some crazy costumes. I've learned some things hanging out with Yehudi there that if someone's in a costume, they are not going to buy anything.
Really?
They're just there to be seen.
Really? Interesting.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Now, do any of the sellers dress up?
A little bit. Maybe if they're selling a hat or something. Or
right.
Like their steampunk booths.
Right, right.
You know?
Weird.
It's a weird thing. It's fascinating, though. Like, you know, we should all go.
The people watching
is amazing.
It's amazing. I saw Shatner
and
speak.
And there's some really neat stuff there, too. Really cool.
Oh, yeah.
There's all,
stuff. Yeah, it's like being in a, it's like being in a fun toy store sometimes, too. Mm-hmm. You know?
I will say, I wish that comic book conventions, I know we're way off topic here, but my buddy Yehudi writes funny comics.
Right.
You know, and he, out of the hundreds of vendors at a comic book convention, there's rarely more than two or three people that are doing funny stuff.
Right.
It's usually, you know, I mean, of course, I'm the person going there looking for funny things. Everyone else is there looking
for
wizards
in there looking,
and whatever, you know, wizards and superheroes. And I found it weird. Like I would pick up a comic book that was funny and be thumbing through it. And the artist would say, well, if you like that, you'd really like this. And then he'd hand me his like super serious, fantasy thing. And I just thought it was weird because I'm obviously looking at the comedy thing that you wrote. Like, why are you showing me the other stuff? It was weird.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
Yeah.
That's weird. Well,
anyway, that doesn't matter.
As we were talking about this, it made me think of, I'm going to guide us back on track slowly in a roundabout way. This week, Google was giving away 10 cent, not giving away, but selling 10 cent apps in celebration of their like billionth download or something. I don't remember.
Their Google-ith.
Yeah.
Google-ith download.
One of the apps was this app called Paper Camera, and it allows you to take pictures and make people basically in comic books or...
Oh,
I saw
you posted some stuff from that.
Yes, right. And I just took a picture of Jamie in the gothic noir genre, but it didn't save. Oh, no.
Oh, what a shame.
Damn. Well, it was pretty good. We'll have to tweet about it. And that's going to bring us back around. You like that? So another thing on the social aspect.
On the social front, as you said before.
On the social front. Twitter had a major...
It could have been a contender.
No.
Twitter could have been a contender.
No.
Nope. Instead of a bum.
They had a whole redesign. They redesigned their whole site. I mean, not completely drastic, but they changed things around. The feed's now on the right side. But one of the nicest features was at the top now, there is Home, Connect, and Discover. Little, like, tabs. And Home tab is your main page with all, you know, your new tweets and stuff. Connect are your mentions, so your at symbol. And then Discover is like a hashtag symbol, and it just shows stuff that you may like and what's going on and, you know, categories that you can follow and things like
that. I like the Discover thing. I think that's...
Yeah, I really like that,
that's
too.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's really... I
the
mean, it's really
mentions
nice.
Page just makes me sad.
Why? Because you don't get
mentions?
Because
no one ever retweets.
You don't tweet enough. If you tweeted more, you would get major retweets.
Maybe.
I would retweet the hell out of you, Jamie.
That sounds weird.
You heard me. I'd retweet the hell out of you, buddy.
Get a rope. I don't know.
Wait,
what that
what?
I don't know.
I feel like people weren't very up in arms about the redesign, so that's kind
of
nice.
I heard a lot of complaints. But
did
I,
you?
Yeah, but I don't... I mean, or I read a lot of complaints. I didn't... Just walking down the street. Hey, buddy!
I don't
Twitter,
like that there Twitter.
I really hate it. I don't know why I'm walking in a Three Stooges short.
It's funny. For the most part, I find myself when Facebook or Twitter, when they roll out these updates, I would say 90% of the time, I like updates. I like the change. Like, I embrace the change. I think it's neat and exciting. But people get really mad when there's any
it's
change.
It's the internet. People complain. That's what the internet is for. Porn and complaining. I just sounded like Sam Wolman right there. That was a Sam Wolman bit.
Well, the ghost of Sam Wolman is in the room still. You do have his microphone from last week.
Wait. That's not Jack.
That's water.
That's water.
I could offer you some Jack.
No.
It actually wasn't Jack. It was much better whiskey. But Jack sounded funnier.
John.
Yes, it was John. Bill. Bill, actually. We don't like talk about that. So, new Twitter site. Check it out. They redesigned their mobile apps, the website, TweetDeck, which is a third-party app and site that they had acquired last year, or this year, actually, I think. And they kind of... TweetDeck's interesting because TweetDeck gave you the ability... Originally, TweetDeck was kind of an aggregator. So it gave you the ability to add Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn,
right,
all these other social sites and put them all in one thing. This new update, it only allowed you to put Twitter and Facebook, and it got rid of a lot of the functionality, which I think is what made it unique and why people like to use it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I guess it seems like Twitter is just using that maybe now for their power user.
Hmm.
That people that want...
So before, was it like... You mean it just...
It wasn't owned by Twitter.
Okay, but it just put all your social feeds?
Yeah, and it was like in this four-column thing, and you could say one column's this account, one column's that account, one column's another account.
Huh.
And you could add a bunch of different accounts from a bunch of different services. They stripped all of those except Twitter and Facebook on there now, which is interesting. I'm not sure what they are planning to do with it, because it's really not... I mean, it's a little different than the regular Twitter, but it's strange. And they also updated the mobile interface. If you go to it from a website on your mobile account,
right,
which looks really nice. I think they did a good job. It feels like a very good evolution of Twitter as far as the way I see it.
Right.
You know, so. But, you know, always going to be changes, always going to be people that don't like it. And
it's the internet, man. That. People are going to complain about anything right away. As soon as they can complain about it, they will do it. It's a lot easier
to complain than to
say something constructive.
Agreed.
Or to even say something positive.
Yeah. So we're going to talk. There were a couple other.
I hate when people complain. Complainers are so stupid.
Where can I write about that? I'm going to complain about you complaining. There was huge news from HP, but I'm not going to talk about that yet. Because what I want to talk about was the not so huge, highly entertaining, allows me to talk about Research in Motion again news. So our own Brian Bishop from one of the founders of TechBacon wrote a story on The Verge with a lot of the details regarding this. It just makes me laugh to think about it. But one of the executives from Research in Motion was drunk and disruptive on a plane.
Two of them. It was two.
Two Research in Motion were drunk and obstructive on a plane. And
Bob Black and Johnny Berry.
Was that their name? Oh. Wow.
Well, I can't believe
me neither.
You fell for that. That's
amazing. I was not even there. That was well done, Jamie. I can't remember the guys' names, but so what basically what happened was these guys,
they I believe they boarded the plane drunk. Already drunk.
Yeah, they were already buzzed. They drank, they passed out, apparently, woke up again, and then were still drunk and unruly. I guess eventually, this is the best part. This is my favorite part of the whole story. So eventually, they were so out of hand that they got those plastic handcuffs put on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the pull ties that like police use now and stuff.
Zip ties. Yeah.
Zip ties, right. And these guys were so out of control that they gnawed through them with their teeth.
And then kept fighting with the...
Yeah, and like ate their way out of their restraints.
What? Do you know what airline it was?
Oh, man.
Because this... Here's what I come out of... from that story, come out with, other than the fact that these guys are idiots.
True.
Is that I do not want to fly that airline because they obviously don't know that when you restrain someone with plastic handcuffs, you put their hands behind their backs.
That's a very good point. That's really funny. I didn't actually think about that. Okay, so it was a transcontinental flight to China, and I can't tell what airline it was.
I read that they were each fined $35,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's
because the plane made an emergency landing.
Wow. It was George Campbell and Paul Alexander. It was an Air Canada flight. And at one point, this is a great quote. So that Campbell said he would off the other passengers after the plane landed.
Oh, yeah.
Like he threatened to kill them.
Yeah. Man, that's a level of drunk that, I mean, unless they're just power hungry. I mean, which that's what
I'll tell you. Are supposed to be. It just doesn't. It makes sense.
Right.
The company is just delusional, so they must have just crazy people working for them.
Right.
Go figure.
Right.
Look what happens. Is it bad that I loved reading that story?
Well, it's a salacious story. It's funny. That could have been about anyone or anyone that works for any company, and it would have been entertaining.
True. But it just. Even more so because it was Research in Motion.
But I will say to everyone out there, if you think there's a terrorist threat on an Air Canada flight, restrain the people yourself. The flight attendants will do it wrong.
Hands behind the back.
Hands behind the back.
Hands behind
Maybe
the
they
back.
Chewed through each other's.
Oh my. The visual of that is brilliant. If
we would
like
know
the
that.
Guy went behind.
Yeah.
Like nod.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Wow. So, good going, Rim. You guys are awesome. You're keeping on top of your game. You're hiring some really quality people.
Another quality Rim job.
Ba-dum-bum. So, the biggest story of the week, I think, was from HP. They finally decided what they're going to do with webOS. So, which is what they, you know, which was on their touchpad tablet and the Palm phone, you know,
right.
The Palm pre-phones and stuff like that. Instead of selling it or instead of just getting rid of it and selling the patents, blah, 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 they're going to release it to the open source community. And they're going to fund the project partially and still keep a team on board and put it out there and see what happens. Interesting. I don't know. I think they have a hard road ahead. In any scenario, I feel like it's a hard road ahead, you know?
Right.
Because, so it's going to be out there and anybody will be able to take the code and add to the project, similar to what Firefox is. Firefox is in the open source community.
Yeah.
And the code is out there for anyone to get and contribute to making it better. And so that's what they're going to do. They're going to release it out there and hopefully people will contribute and make it better and have updates and they will spearhead the project through HP.
Do you think... I mean, do you think that anything's going to come of it?
No, unfortunately, I don't. They did say that they plan on making hardware with this software, possibly tablets.
Okay.
But
so if they make dirt cheap tablets,
maybe and they're not, and they don't have to spend to develop the software, even though they are spending some money to fund it. I'm not sure where it goes from here.
But I mean the open source thing works. When it works great. Firefox and all the Xbox stuff, the Kinect stuff.
That stuff's amazing. It is. Yeah. That stuff's been coming out daily, what crazy things people are doing with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I wonder, the thing with the software like this is you need hardware to support it. So you need hardware vendors to create devices that they're gonna put the HP or not HP, but to put WebOS on.
Yeah.
So if you don't get that, then you're not going to get, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And also they're looking at it, which is, I think, smart. They're looking at it in, 5 years down the road. I mean, they even said, even if we come out with hardware, it might not be in 2012. It might not be next year at all. You know, it could be the first piece of hardware they come out with this new open source WebOS could be 2 years from now.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to see what happens to it. And curious to see if the developer community embraces it.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You know, maybe there will be some hardware vendor out there that comes out with a really cheap tablet and has this nice software to go on it. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Curious. But at least they decided. At least they, have a game plan now.
Right.
Even though it
is. But yeah, I think, with the other things with Firefox and Xbox, those are things people were already using. And so it's hard. How do you develop for something that you don't really use?
Right.
That doesn't, you have to have,
it has to capture the imagination of this open source community, I think.
Right.
And it's a weird way into it. It's a strange entry into this, developer, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
They may release this and somebody may get enamored with it, and a group of developers might just dig in and come up with something incredible.
Here's the interesting thing about it. Obviously, to this point, it's been a huge failure. So instead of just scrapping it and saying, like any company would normally do, they're saying, okay, what can anyone, you can do whatever you want with it, and maybe something will come of it. They have nothing to lose at this point.
Right.
Well, they're just throwing it out there. Hey, you can make this better if you want to. If not, it's just going to end up where it already is.
They won't cop to it, but I feel like they were obviously trying to sell it.
Right.
It seems obvious to me that they were trying to do that. Maybe they had a buyer. Maybe it fell through. Maybe they didn't have a buyer. I think if they could have gotten somebody to buy this from them, they would have. But I guess now the thought is we're going to lose a ton of money on this anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe if we put this long-term goal in there, maybe we won't lose everything.
Right.
I think their options were limited. It was either just sell off the bits and pieces of it, sell it to somebody in full, which didn't look like it was going to happen, or do what they did.
Right.
And so now they've done what they did.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. It's going to be far off. I don't think we're going to see, any fruits of this for quite some time.
Right.
So curious. Maybe I'll get some updates on my touchpad.
And chances are the only fruit we'll ever see of it is a big lemon.
Is a big. Well said, Jamie Dooner. That was really good. It already is a lemon. Although only a $99 or $150 one for the people that bought through the fire sale. And they're selling more off, apparently.
Huh.
And they did say there's 870,000 touchpads out there.
Hmm.
So there is a community of use currently.
Right.
Where that's going to go, who knows, but they're out there.
Right.
So there's something to possibly be done. So that was the HP news. Amazon did something really interesting this week, and it's it has, I think, a lot of I'll say what it is and we'll talk about it, because so basically what they're doing is they have an app where
is that how this works?
Yeah.
You say something and then we talk about it.
Yeah, okay. That's just
making sure.
Actually, Jamie, why don't you say something and then we'll talk about it? No, why not I say something? But you do have something that you're going to talk about after this.
Oh, yeah.
Which is okay. See? It happens. So there's an app. They have the Amazon app, and you can scan barcodes of products and do a price match with Amazon. So what they have said they're going to do is if you're in a store, like a Best Buy or Staples, you scan a product with their app and price match and then buy it on Amazon instead of in the store.
At that moment?
I think you have, I want to say it's either 24 hours or a week. I can't remember the specifics, but there's a time frame to it. You will get a 5% discount on that item.
Part of me thinks that that's awesome, but part of me also thinks that suddenly we're not going to be able to use our cell phones in stores.
That's the first thing that I thought of too. Yeah. That's the first thing that popped into my mind is all of a sudden there's going to be the workers, you know, at the store are going to be wandering around looking for people to be scanning items.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see, it's cool technology wise. It's neat, but it feels in bad form for Amazon to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something about it feels dirty.
Yeah.
And I can't, like, it's, you know, it's business and whatever, but it just feels like they're not playing fair.
Well, they're just really trying to screw physical stores. That's what it feels like.
But it's not even that. What's worse is, aside from trying to screw physical stores, they're trying to make physical stores their showroom.
Right.
So not are they only...
That's not fair, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not only are they trying to say, we buy from us, we're cheaper, they're saying, go to the store so you can actually see the product, and then buy from us because we're cheaper.
But I do that already. I just don't need to have...
Oh, I do that too.
I don't need to have the scan thing. See, I think for me, I already do it. I already do it, so I don't need... I mean, will I use it? I'll probably use it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I bought this mixer that we used for the show here at the Guitar Center. You know, a few weeks back. And I went there. I used this is before this deal started or anything, but I used the Amazon app to scan the barcode. It gave me the price on Amazon. And then I asked Guitar Center if they'll match the price. And they did.
Yeah.
Which was great. And I think Best Buy and all that stuff, I think they're going to start reverse price matching. But it's, you know, where does it end? You know,
with more money in my pocket.
You know what? It always made me think, though, which I always thought would be an interesting store concept for somebody, would be like to just have a showroom, like a Best Buy. If Best Buy had the Best Buy showroom, nothing in stock, but they had all the products out that you can use and try, kind of like an Apple store, but you had to buy it online, and it was cheaper. Because they don't have to stock a store, and they don't have to have as many employees, and they don't have to do anything like that.
Like a furniture store or a car showroom.
Yeah.
Concept, with electronics.
But with electronics. Like, I think that would be a cool store concept.
Yeah.
You know? Instead, Amazon is one-upping that and saying, well, we're not even going to build a store. We're going to use someone else's store as a showroom and then buy from us online.
Yeah, it does feel a little dirty.
A little nefarious.
Yes.
If I would say. Interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Something rubs me the wrong way about that. And I like Amazon normally, and I think this is unnecessary. I feel it's unnecessary.
Right.
Like, something beeped. Was that your phone, Jamie Dooner?
It was not.
Oh, maybe it was a touchpad.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was my phone.
Uh-oh. What? Whoa.
So that was, you know, if you want to give it a try, Amazon app on iOS and Android, go to the store, scan your product, get your 5% off, and really piss off the brick and mortar stores. I'm curious if they're going to, if in these next couple of weeks, if they're going to kind of clamp down on people doing that in the store. I would if I was a store owner. It's hard to police, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be upset about that.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
You know, so that's the Amazon news. Jamie D, you found a very fascinating product.
I did. It's called a Fleshlight. No, I'm joking.
Wow. Boom.
Sorry about that.
Man, I may have to actually bleep that out.
Oh,
I don't know.
No, you don't. It illuminates.
Stop. Go to the real product you found.
Okay, so if you
wow,
if you live in an apartment and you want satellite television, you have to go through your landlord to get approval that you can mount a satellite dish on your balcony or on the roof.
Or on the roof, right.
And a lot of landlords, a lot of buildings won't let you do it. So you're forced to get cable or whatever.
Correct.
So this company invented a satellite dish that looks like a chair, like an outdoor chair, like a lawn chair. So you just put that on your balcony, and it's your satellite
dish. And it's the like the components of the chair are an actual
satellite dish. It's all the same components, but
just looks like a chair.
It looks like a chair, and you can actually there's a cushion you can put on it to sit on it. Your reception gets a little lousy when you're sitting on it, right. But yeah, that's a great idea.
But it doesn't look like a dish, so a landlord wouldn't really have to approve it.
Correct.
They would never know, first of all.
They would never know, yes.
And it's got the inputs, what, on the back of it?
Yeah.
For the Does it work? Does it say which dish provider it works with, or is it any?
I think it's any.
Really?
I think Dish Network and...
DirecTV?
DirecTV use the same exact code.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh,
they just have their...
Boxes.
Branding name written differently on it. And, yeah, the boxes are different.
But they use the same... I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I mean, so smart.
I wish they would have had that when I lived in an apartment and had just because it would have looked nicer.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, even as the apartment owner, condo owner, or rental, you know, or renter, you know, it looks nicer than having this big, you know, satellite dish pointing off your balcony.
Right.
You know, I wonder how good the reception is on that though.
Right.
Like, is it? You know.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Okay. It's probably pretty good. I guess as long as it has line of sight, because that's all those things need.
Exactly.
As long as it has line of sight to the satellite, then.
So if you're on the top floor, it's awesome.
Right.
On the bottom floor might be
an issue. Maybe not so good. Or on the you just put a chair on the roof.
That's true.
That'd be really funny. This is like a bunch of like, you know, rows of chairs up on the roof. You know, someone goes up there to check out something, sits down, and your TV just gets all screwed. What the? I don't understand.
Hey, Murray, get off of my dish.
Yeah.
Murray was, see the neighbor sitting on the dish, you say, how that works.
I see. I understand.
And he went up to the roof and he sat on my satellite.
Okay, dish. I get it.
And
then you invited him down.
He had a fleshlight with him.
All right, seriously. what I'm really glad about is that we don't have to explain what a fleshlight is, because then this
if
show
you
goes,
know you know if you don't
you don't
don't look it up don't
yeah, don't look it up it's not worth it unless you want to. I'm stopping this conversation can go in some crazy places right now, so we're gonna move to the next logical place that this conversation can go to. Food. It's time to talk about some food. Right?
Yes.
Yes. So,
hey, Murray, let's talk about a dish.
What?
Stop sitting on my dish. Let's talk about a dish. That a was dish. No. Got, a wow. Failure Bad. By Jamie Duner. Right there. That was a fail. Let's talk about fleshlights again.
So, you were in Texas.
I was
for
in Texas.
The holiday, and in Texas brings us
barbecue and steak.
Yes.
I had some great barbecue in Texas. I don't know if you know about Texas barbecue. What is, like, what makes Texas barbecue Texas barbecue?
I do, but why don't you? I'm sure many people out there don't.
So there's different regions of barbecue, different regions that are known for it.
Different types of barbecue.
St. Louis, North Carolina, Texas. There's some Midwest stuff. Texas focuses mostly on beef and the cooking of the meat itself. Like, the sauce is secondary, almost.
Sometimes no that. Sauce.
Yes. Most of the time, the sauce is an insult to the meat. You know? And so it's all about the smoking of the meat, you know? If you go to the Carolinas, that's about the sauce. And so it's different. Texas is all about the smoking
right.
of the meat. Now, there's a pretty good rule of thumb in Texas that if the name of the restaurant has somebody's last name in it, then it's good.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of the things you look for.
Like, give me an example.
So there's that little town called Lockhart, which is supposed to be like the, you know, barbecue center of Texas. And they have Smitty's. They have Black's. They have
Blues.
Kreitz. and they're all last names.
Yeah.
And the one that I grew up near is called Good Company, and that's the family last name, G-O-O-D-E, that I think is good. Uh-huh. There's probably people in Houston who would scoff at me for even mentioning it. But I think for me, it's the winner for what I grew up near. They just have the brisket. So good, man.
You sent me a text about some amazing dish that you had.
Oh, no, I just said that I couldn't. There's nothing I could eat there that didn't have meat in it. It was like one of those things where I was like, I'll have the green beans and that had bacon in it. And I'll have the corn and that had ham in it. It was all delicious, but everything had meat in it. Now, out here in California, in Los Angeles, it's very hard to find good Texas-style barbecue. The smoked sausages and brisket.
Right.
I have found one place that I think is pretty good. They do not fall under the last name rule. It's called Smoke City. It's in Van Nuys. But it's good. It's the brisket is very good there. There was a place called Dr. Hoggly Woggly's Tyler, Texas Barbecue, which I was very excited
in
about.
In California?
Yeah, it's way out in like Panorama City or something.
Wow. What's the name again?
Dr. Hoggly Woggly's Tyler, Texas Barbecue. And
must,
so I went.
It seems like a must just because of the name.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, that's a great name. I'm going. Right. And this is when I first moved here.
Right.
And I went and I ordered brisket. And Texas brisket, when you order it, it's cut very thin. Like, it's thin slices. Mm-hmm. This, they just gave me like
chunks of meat.
They gave me a big, it was almost like a prime rib. I was like, what is this? They're like, this is brisket. I'm like, this is supposed to be like a Texas brisket. And they're like, this is Texas brisket.
You're like, what part of Texas are you from? Buddy? Yeah,
no, this is not. it was not good. So if you do not go to Dr. Hoggly Woggly's, it's terrible. But go to Smoke City if you're in if you feel like eating Texas brisket, it's good.
In Los Angeles.
In LA. And if you're in Texas, Houston, find something with
someone's last name in it. Yeah. And you're golden?
Yes.
I like it. So I was struggling to think of food, but then your talk of barbecue brought me to a meal that I had Thursday. There's a place called Simple Things Pie and Sandwich Shop here in Los Angeles. And it's just a little sandwich shop. And their gimmick is they do these individual pies.
Uh-huh.
And, they're just these small single serving pies. And they have different, you know, banana cream pie or pumpkin pie.
Sweet or savory pies too?
They have savory pies. Looks like they had like pot pies that you can order and stuff like that. But they also, they're well known for their sandwiches too. Mm-hmm. They have amazing sandwiches. So I got a barbecue pulled chicken sandwich on fresh baked pretzel roll.
Sounds delicious.
It was amazing. I mean, it was really, I don't know. Have you ever had a pulled chicken sandwich?
Have I ever pulled my chicken? I've never had a pulled chicken sandwich. Yeah, I think I have.
I mean, you don't see it that much.
Right.
Really. But it was really like the equivalent of a barbecue beef sandwich, but with chicken.
Right.
Like the way it was like shredded chicken.
Yeah, almost. Like a pulled pork, pulled chicken.
Yeah, exactly. And a really good, barbecue sauce on it. The roll was amazing. It was just
are you a big fan of pretzel rolls in general?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. You?
It depends.
Yeah. I mean, this was...
If it's like a Philadelphia soft pretzel, if it tastes like that, awesome.
That's what this was like.
Okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what this tasted like.
Yeah. It was great. Those are good.
Yeah. And then for dessert, they were seasonal. So this time of year, they had a homemade pumpkin whoopie pie with a cream cheese filling in the center.
So it was like pumpkin bread with cream cheese in the middle?
Yes. And it was huge. And if you follow me on Food Spotting, you'd see a picture of it. I put it up there. What was really nice was it wasn't like a lot of whoopie pies, you know, the bread part is really thin.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's the cream in the middle. And,
right.
And it's usually a very thick, heavy cream. I mean, I guess it's... what is
yeah,
it? So it's like frosting almost.
Yeah, yeah, it tastes like cake frosting almost.
Yeah. So this, it was more of like a banana muffin, you know, cut in half almost. And then the filling
was pumpkin.
It was pumpkin. I mean, a pumpkin muffin.
Like, imagine a banana muffin, but it's
pumpkin.
Made of pumpkin.
It was like two pumpkin muffin tops and then cream cheese in the middle.
Huh.
So it was really good. It was delicious. And didn't taste like banana or look like banana at all, really. I got banana on the brain.
A pumpkin muffin has a physical resemblance to a banana muffin. They're similar in color.
You think?
Yeah. It's like a
pumpkin's
bran muffin.
A lot darker.
Bran muffin.
More bran than
they're all the same
banana.
Kind of shade. They're variations of the shade.
I guess. I suppose. I mean, I think... You would more, you know, confuse a pumpkin muffin with a carrot muffin as opposed to a banana muffin.
Yeah,
with
but
a
carrot muffin has nuts in it.
A banana muffin has nuts? Oh, but we're talking about pumpkin muffin. I'm confusing myself. Pumpkin, banana, carrot. I don't understand what is happening. Oh, speaking of that, I actually have to bring up something because this is really funny. I was discussing how I didn't have birthday cake on my birthday.
Uh-huh.
But I did have birthday cupcakes. And one of my coworkers, we were talking about it, and she started to relate food with rock, paper, scissors, and said that that in a rock, paper, scissors scenario, it would be cookie, cake, icing. And cookie beats cake, but icing beats both.
But that doesn't... Then it doesn't make sense.
Or no.
Then icing's like dynamite. When you put
but it covers
dynamite into it.
Oh, no, it doesn't. No, that's not how it works. It's cookie beats cake, but icing beats cookie. And then.
But wait, no.
Nothing
wait.
Beats icing? There's got to be a rule
in
this game.
You're the one explaining it to me. Where's the banana in this situation?
But banana kills them all. It's like, do you watch Big Bang Theory at all?
I have. I'm not a. It's not on my list.
There was like they had a game. It was something like rock, paper, scissors, Spock.
Yeah, I've seen T-shirts.
But everything Spock beat everything.
Yeah.
So you could never, like, no matter what you played, Spock always won. I think this is turning into one of those.
I don't
scenarios.
Know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what. I don't understand how cookie beats cake. What? Why?
Because it's harder and it can like smush the cake, and it's better than cake.
So what beats cookie?
Nothing ever.
So what?
Wait,
what
okay.
Can cake
Let's
be?
Go through rock, paper, scissors for a second. How does that? What are the rules on rock, paper, scissors?
There's a rock.
Okay. No, but, okay. So scissors beat paper,
right? And rock beats scissors, and paper beats rock.
Okay. So let's draw that out into the cake cookie icing scenario.
Okay.
How would that
so
work?
Cake equals what?
Cake equals paper.
Okay.
Cookie equals scissors, and icing equals rocks. Rock.
Icing, I don't see, the problem with this is icing, how is icing different than cake? Icing is on cake.
Right, so it beats cake because it goes on top.
No, no. That doesn't make sense.
There has to be a food
cake
equivalent to rock, paper, scissors.
It. Yeah, I'm sure, but like, it's got to be like ice cream is the third one. Like, it's got to be its own separate dessert item.
I see what you're saying. I understand that. Okay, so ice cream. Throw ice cream in that mix. How does it work?
So ice cream, when you put it on a cookie for long enough, it kind of like dissolves the cookie.
Okay, so you would say ice cream beats cookie.
Cake beats ice cream.
Cake beats ice cream.
Cookie beats cake.
Cakey beats cake.
Cakey beats cake.
Cakey beats cake, man. I like it. So it cookie cake ice cream. That's the game. I want to play that every day of my life.
You do play it every day of your life. Except for you, it's not about... What would actually physically beat the other one? It's like, which one tastes the best to me right now, and where can I get it as close to me as possible?
It's very true. Very true.
And I'm sure you've actually had an ice cream that had both cake and cookies in it.
No, I don't think so, but
Come
I like
on.
It.
How many times did you go to...
Ice cream that had both cookie and
Cold
cake
Stone.
In it?
Yeah.
I've never had that. That sounds like a great combination, Jamie.
What?
Like, I want how? Ice cream how? With cookie and cake.
Isn't there like a Ben and Jerry's everything? I think there is.
No. There's everything but the kitchen sink. There should be.
There is. No, there's one that has like cake and brownies and cookies in it.
Oh, well, there is. Yes, there is. And I actually had it.
Okay.
It's the mix. It's the mix one.
It's all the dough.
It's the brownie.
It's
the chocolate brownie and then cookie dough in the same. It's called something swirl.
Right.
Right. I have had that. So that's
probably
that's close.
It probably has a pun with some jam band name attached to it.
I'm sure I would be surprised. You know what? I'm gonna get some of that next week.
Leftover
and talk about
salmon
it.
Swirl.
No.
Yes.
No. All right. On that note, I think we're gonna wrap the show up. Thank you everybody for joining us. Check us out on iTunes. Give us some ratings. We love to see that. You can check us out on Stitcher and on TuneIn, a Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at ScottyG7. If you want to follow Jamie D on Twitter,
FLESHLIGHT. No, I'm joking.
What?
BSTRDMLKEY.
Thank you. Have a great day.